Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
Sarah Lindbergh was taking her kids to a doctor's appointment one day, and she wrote about this day in her blog. On the way, I was having one of my usual one-sided conversations that occupy a lot of space in my head. This morning's theme had to do with the if-only game. Already late for our appointment, I spent most of the drive feeling bad for waiting so long to take my son in. Quickly, my self-talk turned into if-only. If only I worked part-time, I would have taken care of this sooner. If only I could fit it all in, I would be happier. My kids would be happier. Sarah, we hear you. We've been there. How many of us have played this what-if game? How many of us get stuck in our own heads, either arguing with ourselves or imagining arguments with someone else? How many of us treat the car or even the shower as our own private therapy room, where we are both patient and therapist at the same time? Yeah, sure, Sarah's kids were in the back seat, but in that moment, she was in her own little world. She was living in the land of what if. And maybe you did that on your way here this morning. Maybe you're still doing it. Maybe you are physically sitting here, or maybe the video of this service is playing on your screen, but mentally you are somewhere else. Other things are on your mind right now. I get it. We've all been there. And I imagine some of the people in today's story in Acts felt the same way. People from all over the known world had come to Jerusalem for the Jewish festival of Pentecost. Now, this was the festival celebrating the giving of the Torah 50 days after Passover. This was one of the big religious holidays for them. Think about it on the level of Christmas or Easter for us. Which means, even if you didn't participate in worship any other time of the year, you made it a point to be there on Pentecost. But even if you were physically there, maybe you were mentally somewhere else. Right? Oh, sure, there were plenty of people that day who were paying attention to what was going on. But I bet there were some people who were thinking, how long is this going to take? Or, what am I going to do about my parents? Or my kids? Or my work? Or, why do I feel so inadequate all the time? And so, like Sarah in her car, I bet some of the people gathered there in Jerusalem that day were lost in their own heads. They might have physically been in Jerusalem, but they were really in the land of worry, or the kingdom of doubt, or the state of confusion. Everyone was coming from different places in life. But then it happened. A sound. A sound that pulled them out of their heads. A sound that caught their attention. A sound that united the people together. For Sarah, there was a sound too. It was a sound that united her with her kids in the back seat. She wrote, "I was mid-sentence in my thoughts when my son hacked and coughed so hard he farted. The kids erupted in a laughing fit so wild I couldn't help but join in. I knew we had to be at the doctor's office in 5 minutes. I knew I had a million other things to get done today, but I pulled over. I pulled over and I joined in. My son alternated between coughing and laughing and farting. My daughter had that ear-to-ear smile that I don't get to see very often. Their laughter was so contagious, I couldn't ignore it. I had to join it. Sarah got pulled out of her head by a fart. The people in Jerusalem got pulled out of their head not by a breaking wind, but by a violent wind. And suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Well, that would certainly make them pay attention, because that wasn't something they saw or heard every day. And it certainly wasn't something they were expecting during worship on Pentecost. Right? Imagine the sound of a tornado ripping through this place on Christmas or Easter. Right? You'd pay attention to that. So clearly, when these people were gathered there for Pentecost, something new and strange and dangerous was happening. Then they heard something else amazing. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among the disciples, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. The people there in Jerusalem that day didn't know what to make of this. They were amazed and astonished and asked, what does this mean? Today, some people might think the miracle of Pentecost was a miracle of talking. They imagine that the disciples were suddenly downloaded with international dialects, like English or Spanish or Russian or whatever. Or maybe they thought the disciples were speaking in tongues. You know, what sounds like gibberish to most people. But the miracle here is not just the talking. Right? People talk all the time. And sometimes they get tuned out or ignored. So the miracle here is in the talking and in the listening. Basically, the miracle is when what is said finally makes sense. Amazed and astonished, they asked, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Right? The crowd was amazed that they could hear the good news in their own language. Or we could say in a way that made sense to them. A way that spoke to them and addressed where they were coming from. Right, for example, maybe you've heard someone speaking English, but what they said still didn't make any sense to you. Or maybe you were trying to assemble something and you just couldn't figure out those instructions. But then, hopefully, there came a moment when it clicked. When it made sense to you. When someone finally spoke your language. You had that aha moment, right? The light bulb went on. And when that happens with the gospel, when the gospel finally makes sense to you, that's the Holy Spirit at work. Sarah had a moment like that in her car. After her son farted and the kids calmed down from their giggle fit, Sarah said to them, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for not paying more attention. I'm sorry you ended up with that mom. I'm sorry for not being in the moment more often. Then at 8:45 a.m. in a random parking spot, it happened. The Spirit moved in her car and empowered her daughter to say, Mom, you're busy. We understand. I just wish you would slow down and enjoy it more. Enjoy life. There it was. A message of love given to Sarah in her own language. She needed to hear that word to slow down and enjoy life. She wasn't coming from Mesopotamia or Judea or Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, or Pamphylia. Instead, she was coming from the land of worry and preoccupation. And the word she needed to hear was a word to relax. And now a child had spoken that word to her. Sometimes the Holy Spirit moves in a bunch of people gathered in a room in Jerusalem. And sometimes the Spirit moves in a young girl in the back seat of a car on the way to a doctor's appointment. Wherever it happens, wherever that Spirit moves, Pentecost is that moment when you finally hear that God's love is for you. So maybe today you have come here from faraway land. Maybe you are coming from the land of worry and preoccupation like Sarah. Or maybe you're coming from the country of stress or the valley of the shadow of death. Maybe you're living in the great state of denial or your mind is stuck in the realm of coulda, woulda, shoulda. Wherever you are coming from in life, God knows what it's like there. And no matter what that place is, hear the message of Pentecost for you now. God sees you. God speaks to you. God loves you. Wherever your head is at right now, Jesus has still defeated death, and he is stronger than all your problems. No worry, no stress, no life situation is greater than he is. Jesus is alive, and he's got a hold of you. There is nothing that can take him away from you. He is alive and he is giving new life to you. So wherever you are coming from in life, that is the message of the gospel, and it is for you. That message, the good news of the resurrected Christ, is what the people in Jerusalem needed to hear from the disciples that day. It was a message of grace and peace and mercy, and it finally made sense to them. That was also the message that Sarah needed to hear from her kids. And it finally made sense to her, too. Plus, it's not only a message that they needed to hear, but it's also a message they could tell others about, too. Because honestly, when those people left Jerusalem and went back to their homes, you can bet they told others what they had seen and heard from those disciples. In the same way, Sarah had that moment in the car with her kids, and then she wrote a blog post about it to tell others what she had heard. Now today, you get to do the same. Whether you are young or old, male or female, stressed out or completely relaxed, the Holy Spirit has been poured out upon you too. Or as Peter said, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, In those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. You can share God's love with others in a unique way, in a particular language, in a way that makes sense to them. God's love is for you wherever you are coming from, and it is for others wherever they are coming from too. And sometimes they need you to share that word with them. That is the power of Pentecost. It's not just about what happened in Jerusalem all those years ago. It's also about what happens in cars on the way to appointments and in so many other places in life. It's about what happens in your life even now. It's about the work of the Holy Spirit, a spirit that has been given to you, and a spirit that can change the world through you. So come, Holy Spirit, come. Speak through your people today. In the name of the one we proclaim by that Spirit, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.